This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, let's bring in our guest, a very special guest, Peter King, as the NFL draft is a week from tonight. And I want to remind everybody, before we talk to Peter tonight at 8 p.m., Peter and a few friends are raising money for a great cause. So you join Peter, NFL Network's Steve Weiss, and ESPN's Mike Tannenbaum and Matthew Berry as they preview next week's draft during an online fundraiser benefiting youth literacy program Right on Sports. The event's free to watch, and you could donate throughout the show. So here's how you do it. Head to www.writeonsports.org at 8 p.m. tonight to check it out and help change the life of a student near you. And that sounds like a very great thing that Peter and his friend are doing. And we welcome Peter on the show. Peter, how you doing?
Michael, that's so nice of you. I really, really appreciate you having me on and promoting this event. It's a great thing for a lot of kids, mostly in New Jersey, but in some other cities on the East Coast, too. So thank you.
Well, good work by you and all the guys that are going to be on it. So let's talk about this draft, which we'll be doing at 8 p.m. tonight. The Giants, you know, we'll get to Zach Wilson in a moment, but the Giants seem like they're up in the air, Peter, or they've hinted maybe they'll trade down, although Gettleman has never done that in his career in all the drafts. What are you hearing, and what would they pick if they stayed at 11?
You know, I think they're one of the first real major question marks because they could be sitting there with every defensive player in the draft on the board for them to choose. They could take the best corner in the draft. They could take one of the pass rushers. They've spent a lot of time investigating Miami's Jalen Phillips. So that wouldn't shock me. It seems a little high for Jalen Phillips, but just imagine if you get, say, the first or second defensive player off the board. And clearly, they need some depth at corner, and they could really use another pass rusher, obviously. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But the other thing that I think they have to be tempted to do, although I would not do this if I were Gettleman, they have to be tempted that I believe one of the three good receivers, there's a good chance that one of those receivers is going to be there at 11. And, you know, I think Philadelphia is counting on one of the receivers being there at 12. So the ironic thing is the Giants, if they take one of the receivers, let's say Jalen Waddle is the last one left, in my opinion, they could be really kind of sticking it to the Eagles. So I think there's a little intramural stuff going on right there, but I think they have a lot of options. I don't know what they're going to do, but I do think they're going to get potentially a really good and kind of a difference-making player there at 11.
Let me just follow up one quick thing, Peter. If they take a receiver, does that kind of make you raise your eyebrow on why they spend so much money on Galladay?
Well, that's one of the reasons why, look, I think – in my opinion, absolutely, they spent too much money on Galladay. I thought they went too far with that, especially when there was nobody else in the NFL talking to Galladay about a contract of that anywhere near that magnitude. So I thought, particularly in a cap-strapped time, that they really went overboard with Galladay. But having said that, I just think right now that. And I get that you really want to give Daniel Jones a chance. But look at this now. You've got two high-quality tight ends right now. You've got one potentially really stud receiver along with, you know, some good receivers to go with Galladay. And theoretically, if Sterling Shepard comes back and he can play 16 games, that's a good veteran presence there. You got Saquon coming back. I mean, look, if I were them, I'd either go with, if one of those two tackles are still there, maybe Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, I'd either go with another piece up front to protect Daniel Jones, or I'd go with the best defensive player on the board.
Now, they spent a lot of money on making sure that they've got some talent around Jones. They believe they've got the quarterback. Do you?
Oh, I mean, I go back and forth on this. I think he's played some really good games. I really do. I think probably it's more likely than not that he's going to be their long-term guy. The Giants like to show faith in their quarterback. We've seen it time and again. You know, we'll go back to Phil Sims. Sims got hurt 4 of his first 5 years with the Giants. And the Giants, you know, from the Mara family on down, were very loyal to Phil Sims. And he turned out to repay the loyalty. You know, he turned out to be an absolutely great quarterback for them, won one Super Bowl and got him to another one. So I think they view their quarterbacks in the lens of Sims Manning. If they show patience, they surround them with the right people, they're going to be able to win. So, you know, my gut feeling is they're going to stick with Jones, and I think they're going to continue to try to surround him. But again, we don't know yet if he is the long-term guy. We just don't. We just haven't seen enough. And, you know, this is a very big year for him and for an offense that really is underachieved.
Now, with the Jets, let's just assume that it's a slam dunk. They take Zach Wilson. Are they making the right pick, Peter? And did they make the right pick trading Sam and taking this quarterback?
I think it would have been hard, Michael, to bring – you know, Sam Darnold might be one of the nicest people to ever play sports in New York. And, you know, he's a worker bee. Did he one time ever complain about anything, even though he was in, you know, sort of a death spiral of a situation? He never did, and that's one of the reasons why you say, well, you know, maybe he could have handled it and this would have gone well. But in my opinion, I think Joe Douglas did a really good job with this trade. You know, to get a 6 this year and a 2 and a 4 next year, I think is very, very good value for a guy whose value had plummeted. And I also think there's one other part of this. If you bring him to training camp with Zach Wilson, you know, there's always going to be the question, when do you play Zach Wilson? When do you play the kid? And if Sam Darnold starts playing well and you sit Zach Wilson the whole year, well, what are you doing?
Right.
You're just sort of delaying what you think is the inevitable. So although I think that it's a tough thing right now to just hand your team to a guy who's had one really good college season against some C-plus competition, because BYU had to cancel its schedule at the start of the year and then invent a schedule out of whole cloth during the season last year. To me, I kind of look at this as pretty much the only thing you can do. I think that what's unfortunate for them, in my opinion, is that they couldn't get a Josh McCown type. And this year, that would be, to me, Alex Smith. Because Alex Smith, you know, has done this before. He would have been perfect, but obviously he retired. So whether they get Brian Hoyer or some other veteran, they're going to need a guy to put his arm around the shoulder of Zach Wilson and to help him through what, because there are going to be some hard times.
Beyond quarterback, what do you think the Jets do in the draft?
I think their second pick is really an interesting pick, because when you think about it, you think about all the needs and all the things they could do. They're lower in this round when they get to, I think it's 23. I have heard a lot about two things: a pass rusher there, which is a big need, and a cornerback there, which is a big need. And I think, you know, at that time, whether it's like a Gregory Rousseau from Miami, who's sort of a one-hit wonder. I think he's only played 15 games, you know, as an edge rusher. But, you know, he's one of these, you know, raw kids that He never was a pass rusher before he got to the University of Miami. I think he's got to be intriguing. But there are going to be so many players like Rousseau in this draft. Gil Brandt the other day to me called it the most unusual draft he's seen. And he's worked 66 of them. So, you know, he's got pretty good perspective on this. Because all these guys who opted out, I mean, Caleb Farley, this cornerback from Virginia Tech, he's played one football game in the last 500 days, and he's coming off back surgery. What, you know, how do you pick these guys? So, to me, I think this year is going to probably have a few more washouts than usual. But I would think the Jets with that second pick, just a gut feeling, would probably go pass rusher corner.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, the one curious thing, and we've had, you know, all the guys on from ESPN, Peter, and everybody seems to kind of be befuddled what the 49ers are doing. I guess they're not tipping their hands. Is it going to be Mac Jones? What are you hearing? Who's going to be that third pick?
Well, Michael, this draft is on April 29, and the trade was made on March 29, you know, for the Niners to move up to that third slot. Mm-hmm. And conventional wisdom says that they had to know who they were picking when they moved up. And conventional wisdom says that guy was Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback. I disagree with the conventional wisdom. I think there is a slightly different, and this is, you know, and I'm close to a couple of people with the 49ers. I think it was more of the following. We're not positive who we're going to pick at number three, but if we have to make a deal now, and my feeling is that 49ers were getting pressured from Miami sitting there at three because Miami wanted to make two trades. They made two trades in 26 minutes, making that trade with San Francisco to go down to number 12. And then going back up to number six with Philadelphia. But my feeling is it was more of, a huddle between the brain trust with the 49ers, led by Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. And the question internally was basically, if we move up to number three and sacrifice our next two first-round picks, are we comfortable? Are we positive that there is a quarterback among the three who are going to be there when we pick? Are we positive that one of these guys is worth basically three first rounders? And they were all comfortable that that was the case. Now, I believe at the time it was Mac Jones. I don't know that anything has happened to make that change. But I think that if I were to guess, and that's what it is, it's an educated guess, that the pick will be Mac Jones. And I think, Michael, I think one of the things about the 49ers that, because everybody is going to look at this pick and basically say, what a bunch of idiots. Why'd they trade up for a guy they probably could have got him at 12? Why'd they do that? And I really think that the way that the 49ers think is that we are going to do our board and we are going to do what we believe is best. And we know that there's going to be a lot of people outside our building who are going to crush us. And we frankly don't care. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's got a contract through 2025, Lynch through 2024. And Jed York, the owner of this team, had to sign off on this deal. So this is a very, very bold move by them. And it's a move, quite frankly, that could backfire. But I think that it's a move that they not only were confident then, but they do it every day since then.
Peter, great stuff as always. You could read Peter, MM QB.com, NBC Sports. And remember, tonight, go to www.rightonsports.org at 8 p.m. for a good cause and some NFL talk.
Hey, really appreciate it, Michael. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you so much. Wow, interesting stuff. I mean, imagine making a trade and not knowing exactly who you're going to pick. So it seems like, you know, they like Mac Jones, but I guess their mind could be changed, Don. That's amazing to me because they've done the work on the people, so it's going to have to be something that was done after the season that would change their mind, or meeting with the guy. It's going to change their mind, not the film.
And then that would bother me if my mind could be changed. If you're going to trade to three, you've got to do it because there's a quarterback you like. And if there's a quarterback you like and then your mind gets changed because of a pro day or – by some information that leaks out that nobody knows of, then you weren't really in to begin with. There's got to be conviction when you make a move like that.
How crazy was that stat we read the other day, though, about all the teams that have moved up to draft their quarterback? This just doesn't work very often.
Well, you know what it is, too, Peter? They probably said the third quarterback available in the draft is going to be better for us long-term than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the deal they made. So whoever it is, whether it's Fields, whether it's Lance, whether it's Mac Jones, we know that that's a better player for us to win the Super Bowl than Jimmy G. Mm. Well, the 2021 NFL draft begins Thursday, April 29th, and 98.7 ESPN is celebrating the return to football with the draft challenge. By correctly predicting the results of the first 11 picks, it's going to be hard, you can win the jersey of your favorite team's first pick. So to enter, text DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 44202, followed by your picks listed 1 through 11. We'll assign a point for every correct pick and 2 points for a correct Jets pick. If you think there will be a trade, just, you know, use the word trade for that pick. It's all from your home for the NFL Draft, 98.7 ESPN. Now, moving from football to baseball, 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. That's going to be Thursday, May 6th. That's a week after the draft. We're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in baseball. A-Rod, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney, and it's all hosted by Don LaGreca. An exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball, and we'll give away some great prizes. To score your VIP access, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. Again, be the first caller right now at 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential is presented by PC Richard & Son and 98.7 ESPN. We do have a Yankee lineup. Nothing particularly surprising about it, except for the catcher. It's not Gary Sanchez, who's really struggling. So we'll give you that lineup when we get back. A lot of stuff going on. Got some stats for you that will blow your mind about the Yankees. We'll talk about the Mets trying to avoid a sweep with the Cubs. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.